this action occurs, there's a series of steps that take place, including expense to the city to move forward to get properties onto the list. And so my assumption is that's why that that window kind of closes, so that we're not both incurring cost and giving that accommodation. My understanding from talking just the staff is there isn't, I mean, short of a code change, I don't think there's another alternative short of not passing this ordinance, not putting it onto the list, which would then delay, you know, delay all those other actions.
What was the city code reference?
5.30.
Okay, thank you. Let's give me a second to catch up here.
Hang on, yeah. I can give you the specific.
Yeah, if you have it, it'd be great.
5.30.110.A. And it looks like the last sentence of that section.
If I may say one thing, yeah. You mentioned that there's been ongoing problems. I have tried to do it through the COVID period. I was denied to be able to vacate the tenants that were there. I've been threatened. I've knives, guns, AK-47s. I've seen it all right there. And I have done everything. And I was told by the Portland police not even to go down there. I did because it needed to be done. And I was persistent calling the police to try to get this solved. I am here today to try to work this out. And if he will, and you will allow me to take it off the foreclosure list, then what I could do is work with him to try to mediate the amount rather than it going to such a high figure that it would be very difficult to take care of. But if there's a mediation, if we could do that, even if we could talk about it before you make your decision, I'd appreciate it.
Look, I hate to sound like a jerk, but I am the designated jerk. These got to a high amount for a reason. And the reason they got to a high amount is because the issues were ignored and the liens were not paid. And so now there are penalties that go with those liens. This is as much about personal accountability as it is about anything else.
I was very accountable, Mayor. I did the job.
The record shows otherwise.
If I may only not, I'm not, I don't want to ever be argumentative to you, because I can appreciate what you have to do here. And God bless you for doing it. But I can assure you that it would have been, nobody could have done more than I've done. I've worked till midnight. I've done everything, cleaning every little detail on that property. It is immaculate right now. And I've got a statement saying that I thought I was all done on the 15th, because I received a text saying that there's going to be no more fines. Everything looks great, Bill. The violations are done and there's not going to be any more costs. And then on the 19th, and quite frankly, his name, Kevin Foster. He was very kind and very nice in the fact that he sent me the information that I needed, because I don't have that information. So anyway, I just ask for your indulgence. If I could work something out with the city, I will try to make payment or with him immediately rather than allowing it to go to foreclosure. Just because I was told it was all done.
I guess a question for you, Commissioner Mapps.
Yeah.
I mean, from your vantage point for the neighborhood, is the foreclosure the right action at this point based on what you've heard and understand about the, I mean,
something needs to change. Frankly, and Mr. Crum, I know you have been trying to manage this property. Can I ask how long you've had the property?
Since 2006, I purchased the property. Okay. And prior to that, I was involved with McCoy Motors, and I tried to help clean up the place then, and I did so. I freely admit that the passing of my dad and my kids took a toll, and I did lease it out. Yeah. The lease did not work. I did everything in my power through even COVID. They denied me any hearing because I couldn't do anything to evict the people that were there.
Sure.
And finally, I did it. I mean, I did do it. I got an attorney. I was doing this before he showed up, and it's like the zoning changed, or he's now saying that I didn't do something because, but I was totally unaware of that. I mean, we didn't even know that. And I tried to exclaim that to Mr. Lindley that, you know, this has been this way for 20 plus years. And now you're trying to change me to get rid of everything all at once, which I did. But I'm just saying that it was over 20 years, this, even from the prior owner.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
So let's say through some miracle you were able to negotiate down the lane. What basis do you have to give either the neighborhood or this council any confidence whatsoever that things will be different going forward? Because I predict, colleagues, and I again hate to be the designated jerk, but I predict that this will come right back to the council. It may not be right away, but it is coming back, because what we have is a history of years of neglect of the property.
Just this year, there's been this issue.
Yes, because the city has stepped up its foreclosure requirement. I mean, frankly, we're getting down to the end of the path. And from my perspective, it is too late. That's just my perspective. I believe accountability is where we are now.
I don't disagree with the sentiment. I'm just wrestling with the foreclosure and what that means for a neighborhood versus an active owner. I mean, that's, this has been a long process. It takes a very long time to foreclose on a property by a public entity. You're 100% correct. And I follow the arguments on accountability. It's just foreclosure is not the panacea for a neighborhood.
It's not a guarantee. I agree.
It's a step.
Not a guarantee.
But that's why we're seeing hotels getting handed back to banks and banks not wanting them. That's why we're seeing office buildings getting handed back to banks and the banks not wanting them. It's always better to have an operator with skin in the game if you can. But I
hear you. And, you know, since we're all friends here, you know, Mr. Crum has had this property for about 18 years and has struggled to manage it for about 18 years. I'll tell you, I'm fundamentally long-term. I'm very optimistic about Park Rose. You know, frankly, you have this property, and occasionally we have a gentleman, Nick, who comes in and wants us to do some subdividing of properties there. These are very close to each other. Eventually, those two properties and a couple of other ones in Park Rose neighborhood are going to get sorted out. And when they do, I think that will be an important tipping point for the neighborhood. And frankly, I think anything that this council can do to move literally that conversation forward would be a service to our city, a service for the people who live there. And frankly, colleagues, you know, I don't know how many days we have sat in this room with people who live in this neighborhood furious at us for reasons that are completely legitimate, including the reasons right here. So it's a terrible space to be in, including for Mr. Crum. But I don't see, you know, we can stick with the status quo. We have 18 years plus experience of that, or, you know, we can walk our talk, which I think is why we were sent here.
I think the time has come.
Okay.
Call the roll.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted, and we are adjourned.